On August 14th, 70 years ago, the Japanese surrendered to the Allied forces. When the United States dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it brought World War II to a dramatic end. The devastating bombings also revealed to the world the major role that the Northwest played in the conflict. Producer Felix Bunnell has the story.
It's time for another edition of KUOW's This Not Just In, the occasional series where we take a moment of your day to share a moment of history. A thrilling audio voyage of forgotten events from years past, events that have defined the people and character of the Pacific Northwest. Now here's your host, Felix Bunnell.
When word of the atomic attack on Japan reached the Northwest that morning in early August 1945, the news came first by radio.
The White House has just made an important announcement on the war.
It was important, and it wasn't the only shocking news to come that day.
And to bring you this story, we interrupt our program to take you to Washington.
I have just returned from the White House, where it has just been announced that the United States is now using an atomic bomb, the most powerful explosive yet developed.
The second shock hit much closer to home. News reports revealed that the Hanford Project in eastern Washington had played a critical role in development of the atomic bomb. Before that morning, most people had no idea Hanford even existed. Those who did thought the project was making poisonous gas. Some workers in nearby Richland jokingly told a Seattle Times reporter that with all the dust storms in that part of Washington, they thought they were making sandpaper. But Hanford's secret was plutonium. The Northwest's contribution to the World War II arsenal included this key atomic bomb ingredient, and also the long-range, high-altitude bombers to drop it on the enemy.
They were building the mightiest aircraft in history. They were building the Boeing-designed B-29 Super Fortress.
For the attacks on Hiroshima and then Nagasaki, it was a Boeing B-29 Super Fortress, designed and tested by engineers in Seattle, that made the delivery. In the days that followed, Boeing workers in Seattle and Renton kept on building bombers and awaited Japan's next move, like everybody else. Bob Trout of CBS delivered the breaking news late in the afternoon on August 14th.
The Japanese have accepted fully the surrender terms of the United Nations. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. The United Nations on land, on sea, on air, to the four corners of the earth and the seven seas are united and are victorious.
As Trout's voice came from radios around the city, the swing shift had just started at the Boeing plant along the Duwamish River.
The Japanese surrendered around 4 o'clock Seattle time.
Henry Kuharik was a teenage worker at Boeing. He took part in a 2005 panel discussion at the Museum of History and Industry commemorating the 60th anniversary of VJ Day. The memories were still vivid, and the emotions were raw.
We were just beginning our shift at 4 o'clock, and at 4:30 in the plant, all of a sudden, the microphones came on and said, "Your attention, please. Everyone listen very carefully." And they said, "Turn off all machinery. Stop all moving vehicles. Come down from all ladders." And then after a brief pause, they said, "It's official. The war is over." It was a very emotional thing. I feel like a fool here. They said, "Everyone go home and celebrate."
And celebrate they did, long into the night. In big cities all across the United States, people poured into the streets. Seattle was no exception.
In Seattle, it was wine, women, and song. Mostly song, as serviceman and civilian threw dignity aside. This was the time to whoop it up.
The whooping it up went on for a few days, and the war officially ended with the formal Japanese surrender on September 2nd, 1945. But the end of the war also meant new challenges. Citizen soldiers adjusting to civilian life. Reconversion, the word they used for shifting all those defense plants into factories that made consumer goods. It also meant wrestling with the reality of a world at peace, but now armed with atomic weapons. A film made in 1945 by the government gave recognition to the role that the Northwest had played in World War II and paid a special tribute to the children of defense plant workers.
Someday they'll hear how a war nearly destroyed the world and how people had to spill their blood to learn to work together, to enjoy their planet.
Even then, it seems, the Northwest was a little different. For the kids in this film, the future sounded especially bright, even though it has a bit of a socialist ring to it 70 years later.
There's a community here in the Northwest, a way of living together for a common goal. Come on, child of the Northwest, there's work to do.
I'm Felix Bunnell for this Not Just In.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hooray, hooray. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hooray, hooray.
All the men will cheer and the boys will shout. The gals dress up and they'll all turn out.
And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
You can find more stories from our historical series, This Not Just In, at our website, kuow.org.